Welcome back to the Today Show. Lots of comments about Brendan Drum and his new book and his role with the HSE. And if we get time, we'll get those in. But to our next item, the cold gleam of silver wasn't just irresistible to the people of the Viking Age, but to generations of the Irish ever since. So said the late UCD historian Francois Henry, who recognised that if there's one metal that's strongly associated with the Irish, it's silver. From early Christian church chalices to 18th century forks to contemporary earrings and necklaces, the use of silver by craftsmen and women in Ireland has a long history. But it's been difficult to keep the craft of silversmithing alive. It's thought there are about 12 silversmiths left in the country. Ella McSweeney has visited two of them, and she joins us this morning to talk about it. Ella, thanks for coming in.
Morning, Richard.
An ancient craft, much still done by hand today. How different is it compared with centuries ago?
There are hints of modernity in a silversmith studio, but just hints, and the hints would come from the gas canister that's used to fire the torch that used to be from charcoal, and an automatic drill, but that's about it. I mean, you're talking about beautiful old wooden benches, lines and lines of hammers. Silversmiths are obsessed by hammers, as we'll hear in a minute. So lovely old element to the studio itself. And there's only, as you say, I think about 12 left in the country. I went down to Macroom one late evening and met Eileen Moylan. Now, she's a young female silversmith, rare enough breed, who was always interested in silver. She spent 10 years as an apprentice and also working for Sean Carroll and Sons, which people down in Cork will know who he is, working on a range of things from chalices, church chalices, to jewellery, which is very contemporary. And she said the best thing was designing an engagement ring in the morning, restoring a tabernacle in the afternoon. So it was, you know, she's getting a lot of skills with him. This year she went out on her own, a difficult time to go out on your own as being a silversmith. But she works from home, and I went into her house and had a look at her ancient studio.
So we went down to my workshop studio. It's a small space, but it's perfect for
wow. It is small, but it's got everything you need in here to be a silversmith.
The most important thing, I suppose, as any silversmith is your bench.
And a lovely angle poise lamp so you can see the detail there as well. Underneath, what's this? It's a round table.
That's my soldering block. So, and I have it on a turntable as well. So as you're soldering, you can turn the piece around and get at it from every angle. Obviously, my torch is very important as well.
Because there's a big gas canister underneath your desk.
Yeah, exactly. It's hidden under there. And then my drill as well. So just a pendant drill that tiny little drill bits in it. So it's perfect for little detailed work.
Ooh, that reminds me of the dentist.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can vary the speed. So.
Underneath your desk here is a little copper wire. Hanging off it are all sorts of pliers.
Yes, with silversmiths we tend to hoard tools, so I have lots of pliers, but they are all slightly different.
Well, I can see the difference. They all look a little bit like the beaks of birds, actually, don't they?
That's true.
Do they all have different names?
They would do, yeah. So there's like a half round pliers, there's a flat nose pliers, there's a round pliers.
And so there for the detail. And then underneath this other bench beside us.
Yeah. And so I have my vise. It had been taken off an old turf cutting machine. It's so old, and that's the perfect thing you need as a silversmith. A really big, heavy vise.
And then underneath your vise.
Yeah, these are all my hammers.
What a collection of hammers. Incredible.
Yes, and again, you can't have enough hammers. Because every silversmith will tell you that. You can see that, you know, on the stake, it can hammer metal. Perfect sound of silver on the stake with my lovely hammer.
It's part of the skill of being a silversmith, knowing which hammer to use in what circumstance.
Definitely, because often you'll find that you'll try and make do with a particular tool and you just do the wrong job, and you just learn the hard way. It's an expensive lesson to learn that actually picking up the right hammer is so much easier than compromising.
Eileen Moylan, now, silver, obviously a very shiny, beautiful metal.
Beautiful,
but what are the characteristics of it that make it suited to all of this wide variety of uses?
There are a few things. I mean, I brought a little bowl here for you to look at, and it's obviously extremely shiny. It shines up very well. It doesn't perish, and it's perfect material to recycle. So anyone at the moment who's listening in with silver on their hands, that silver is going to have a very long history, chances are. It's malleable, but it keeps its shape, if you know what I mean. So you can move it into different shapes, but it stays there. There's other elements to it. It's got highest electrical conductivity of all metals. So it used to be used in light switches in everyone's houses. Too expensive for that now. So it's generally used in copper. But the one thing that's interesting is that it's a very hygienic metal. And this is Seamus Gill. He's a Dublin silversmith based in the Design Tower. Very impressive studio he's got. He's been there since 1992. He actually designed the Freedom Box for Bob Geldof when he got the Freedom of the City. And Seamus just spoke to me a little bit about this hygiene point.
One of the great benefits of silver is that it's very hygienic. Germs don't grow on silver where they would on bone and wood. Like we have the term, the baby born with a silver spoon in the mouth. That not only classed a wealthy baby, but a healthy baby.
Seamus Kill. Now, Ella, when we think about silver, we're thinking nowadays about jewellery. But obviously it was used in other ways in days gone by for tableware, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, initially churches is where it was from the early Christian period, but jewellery is where we think of it now. But for tableware, it was all the influence of the Huguenots when they came into Dublin in the late 1600s, who brought all their sort of manners, their table manners with them from France. And actually, in silversmithing, you'll have words like repoussé, which is influenced from the Huguenots, which is a way to make the metal kind of 3D-ish. And you have planishing hammers. Planier is to flatten. And so you use this particular hammer to flatten the silver. But the Huguenots influenced tableware and the use of silver on tableware in the 1800s. So you would have had like a rise of the urban middle classes in Ireland, and they would have demanded more and more things like forks and candlestick holders and all the rest. And then that obviously went during the 19th to 20th century when economic stagnation in Ireland happened. And there's now, you know, a low demand from religious silver. So everyone has gone into, and I say everyone, the 12 silversmiths that are left in the country have gone into making, you know, contemporary jewellery and the like.
What do the silversmiths actually do? They take a sheet. They get a sheet of silver, of metal. What do they do? What's the first step?
And they buy it from abroad, because we don't mine silver anymore. The first step is sawing it. And this is just a little snippet of Seamus sawing the silver. And it's like going through butter.
Everything that I do would start off with a flat sheet of silver. This is 1.5 millimetre silver. From it, I'm going to saw out a circle in the silver. The saw blade is a very fine, thin blade.
And is silver easy to cut through?
It's very easy to cut through. Like it, in cutting it, the blade is so fine, it can move around, so it's nearly like drawing a line through the silver. The teeth on the blade are angled just perfect, that the blade doesn't jam, and it just flows through the silver.
This stage hasn't been mechanised, because you're still using your hands, doing something that a lot of people I would imagine would just do very quickly with a machine.
A lot of processes have been mechanised, but most of what I do will be one-off pieces, so it gives me the freedom to cut out whatever shape I want. You have control, and it gives you much more scope for doing a variety of pieces.
So there's Seamus there, and then the other process is actually heating it, annealing it, because silver apparently gets stress, and like us, it needs a bit of a massage, so the heat is used for that. But there's the final point, which is that silver is, you can't use it, like gold, you can't use it in its pure form. So again, anyone with gold or silver in their hands, that's going to be mixed in with copper. It's too soft to be used. And so there is a problem about cheating, and this was seen way back in like 500 AD when they brought in the first system of making sure that silver and gold was stamped so that it was given some sign of quality. In Ireland, this was brought in from the Goldsmith Hall in London. So you have the hallmark that comes from the Goldsmith Hall marking it with a quality, telling you that it is actually silver. Sterling silver is 92.5% silver and the rest is copper.
Well, what's this about women not being allowed to register their hallmark?
Women weren't allowed to register. It's terribly sad, but they weren't allowed to register their hallmark in the past unless they were widowed. There was a demand for silver in the 1800s. Silversmiths brought in their wives. If they brought in someone who wasn't related to them, they would have been fined. So the only way that they could register their own hallmark was if they were widowed. And then even the hallmark they got was a different colour. I don't know whether we have time for the last clip. This is Eileen just talking a little bit about hallmarks.
The hallmark is the stamp of the maker. So the first mark on a hallmark is the maker's mark. So my mark is my initials, EM. In Ireland, the second mark we have on a hallmark is the mark of Hibernia. So it's the mark of the Irish Assay Office. And the third mark then is the finesse. It's the mark of the metal quality. So in the case of silver, it would be 925 for sterling silver. And then there will be a date mark as well, which is the fourth mark. Each year is allocated a letter. So this year the letter is A. So from a hallmark, you can tell, firstly, who made it, where it was hallmarked. So it's sent to Dublin Castle and they would test it, make sure that the metal is of quality, and then they would stamp the remaining three marks on it, and then you'd have your date mark as well.
That was Eileen talking to Ella. And of course, Ella is with us each Monday morning for her Made in Ireland slot. It's an Athena Media production supported by the BAI Sound and Vision Scheme. For more audio, for photographs and video, you can go to the Made in Ireland Facebook page and on our own website on rte.ie. Today with Pat Kenny, where, of course, all of Ella's features are podcasts.